dog also ate a quarter of a tennis ball that had to get pulled out of its colon, but that time it was close enough to its colon that the vet could reach in its butt and pull it out. This time, apparently, it cannot, and therefore will require expensive surgery with whatever's in there, which is great.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Levitard. That's Sarah Spain and Pablo Torre. Neither one of them are ready, but let's get started with or without them.
More noteworthy Drew Brees milestone from last night, going 29 for 30 or setting the all-time touchdown pass record?
He has been excellent for so long that we lose sight of the fact that he is the single most accurate passer in the history of the sport. I want to show you, before we get to any of what happened last night, this sports science clip we like showing around here, where he is more accurate from 10 and 20 yards throwing a football than Olympic archer is with a bow and arrow. And so what ends up happening, and he did this again and again, it wasn't just a couple of times, he was consistently in the area where he had to be with bullseye after bullseye, and the chemistry he has with Michael Thomas is unlike any you will find in the league, where it's basically unguardable. You throw 12 times to Michael Thomas and it looks something like that, where there is never anything other than perfection. He was mad at himself after the game because the one pass he was had an incompletion on, his fundamentals weren't good. This is a staggering achievement from a short guy who was never supposed to do this, and yet still, guys, he is somebody who has never any one year been considered the best quarterback in the sport, even while being the most accurate quarterback we've ever seen.
I am going to go with the 29 of 30 record as well. Number one, because I am happy to play into this false conflict we've created between two things that have nothing to do in terms of actually disagreeing with each other. But the second reason is, to be honest, I don't care about the career passing touchdown record. And I say that simply because I didn't really know what the number was. I'm vaguely aware that, you know, Peyton Manning had it. I'm also vaguely aware that Tom Brady's probably going to break it. So that was a nice lifetime achievement thing, objectively impressive thing. All of that is true. But last night felt like I was just watching a superlative, transcendent performance. So give me the great movie as opposed to the record. Oh, man, he won all these Oscars. No, give me the movie. And last night, that was the movie.
I think you're right. This question was written in SpongeBob font. Like, which is more impressive? It doesn't matter. They're not related. They could both be super impressive. But you're both wrong, because Marcus Mariota is currently third in the NFL in terms of accuracy in one game passing-wise. Now, the numbers weren't as big. It was like 20 of 23 or 22 of 20, whatever it was. The point is that that is impressive. But a good quarterback can have a great night. A great quarterback sets the career record for touchdowns. It's longevity, it's duration, it's talent, it's efficiency, it's accuracy. All of those things added together are what has made Drew Brees so impressive. And you're right, Dan. Peyton Manning won five MVPs. And Drew Brees has never been recognized as the best, but he has been consistently great at a time when so many around him have been great. The caliber of quarterbacks in the league right now and recently retired is so great that I think we do take what he's doing for granted. The touchdown record is something that we can't take for granted, because it establishes for all over the entire course of this league's history that he is the best.
So you guys didn't like the question?
God, what a garbage question. Honest to God. Talk about Monday Night Football. Things happen. We'll take the winner. Competing stats. Talk. Make us content.
Why does everything have to be conflict-driven? Can't we just all be friends?
No.
I think these guys are jerks. What do you make of Mike Silver's report that multiple Browns told the Cardinals to come get me?
This is funny what's happening in Cleveland right now. And if I were to say to you that you've got a coach who has been sloppy, his team has been undisciplined and kind of dumb all season, but his skill guys, we know they're good, including the running back who has had a quietly great season, but the coach and the quarterback have not made the kind of improvements to turn that talent into anything, I would understand why all the skill guys on that team were a little bit frustrated with not just Kitchens, but also Baker Mayfield, because he's been the rare quarterback who's gone from accurate to inaccurate, even as his skill guys are better than all of us imagined they would ever be in a Cleveland uniform. I do understand the level of frustration there, even though this is the most successful Cleveland Browns season in a decade, and it's been an epic failure.
Yeah, I love how expectations can change things so dramatically, because we're shocked now when guys are like, get me out of Cleveland. I don't want to play for the Browns. And we're like, what? How can they say that? This is literally the only team in the NFL who will finish this decade without a single winning season. I get it. We thought they were going to be better, but we shouldn't be shocked that they want out when their efforts continue to be as futile as they've always been. The only part I take umbrage with is, why are you saying this out loud? Just DM somebody that you want to go play somewhere else. Quit saying it out loud.
That's the point to me, though, Sarah. This was such an amazingly useless gesture, yelling,
yes,
come get me, across a sideline at the opposing players. Like, nothing is going to come of this. This is basically yelling, adopt me, out the window of your parents' station wagon when you're on a road trip. Like, the other cars may turn around and think, man, that's weird, but it mostly just reflects badly on whatever is happening inside of that Volvo. It's not actually going to get you adopted by anybody else.
You've arrived at a special place in football hell when you are demanding that the Cardinals come and rescue you from something. But if I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm feeling pretty insulted that my receivers keep having a wandering eye. They're married to me, but they kind of liked Kyler Murray, it sounded like, on Sunday.
Is LeBron making a mistake by not sitting out any games for load management?
Oh, he is a company man on behalf of Adam Silver here, speaking what Adam Silver wants to hear and basically what you'd want any perfect athlete to say about doing it for the fans, doing it for the kids.
If I'm healthy, I play.
That's just going to be your approach all year?
I mean, that should be the approach. I mean, unless we're getting to, like, you know, late in the season, we've clinched and we can't get any better or any worse, and, you know, it could benefit from that, but I mean, why wouldn't I play if I'm healthy? It doesn't make any sense to me, personally. I mean, I don't know how many games I got left in my career. I don't know how many kids that may show up to a game that they're to come see me play, and if I sit out, then what? You know, that's my obligation. My obligation is to play for my teammates, and if I'm healthy, then I'm going to play. If coach sits me out, then I'm not healthy, and it's just that simple.
It's a real nice sentiment and also a shot, veiled or not, at Kawhi Leonard, who is the face of load management and has now come into his building, beat him on opening night, and wants the stuff that LeBron James used to have. So he's saying, look, I'm doing this part of it better. And also, it must be a lot of fun for him playing with Anthony Davis, starting the season, whatever it is, 22-3. My guess is he doesn't want to sit much because it's fun. And he's also been very good throughout his career doing load management within games, where he just stops playing defense for a while because he's protecting his body.
But there is great virtue in him citing the words of Joe DiMaggio, Michael Jordan, pointing out that there are kids out there who have never seen me before who are watching me for the first time. All of that is true. This is entertainment. But what LeBron James is also doing, and I think Adam Silver would love this, is I think he's lying or presumptively preparing to lie, because all he has to do when he does want to load manage is call it something else. Kawhi Leonard's entire error here was being honest and transparent. I need to prepare myself for the games that actually matter, because I too, Kawhi Leonard, subscribe and worship at the altar of counting all of these rings. LeBron James also does that, but I think he's wise enough and clever enough and good enough at PR to just understand, I don't have to tell anybody why I'm sitting out. I'm just going to do it and say, like, I have a sore foot.
While the temptation is to be critical of LeBron because he is a guy who has load managed in the past, particularly in seasons when he made it all the way to the finals, which is exactly what Kawhi Leonard is doing this year. And now, since he took off since last March and had a nice six-month sabbatical and came back feeling fresh, he can tell everybody how great he feels and that he doesn't need
sit. What I took was a sabbatical. That's not what he took.
No, yours
I
was
took
a sabbatical.
He took a LeBronical. He took something else.
Either way, you both came back looking rested and playing better than ever. The point is that this is absolutely right to what you said. This is a kind of a veiled shot at Kawhi, and it's also perfectly well-timed for a guy who understands that as his career is winding down, he may have opportunities to win with a team, but if not, he can get individual W's like this, which is to hold himself at a higher standard and to make sure everybody recognizes that he's doing it for the kids and the fans, and that he's durable, and he's got more minutes than anybody else, and he can play longer and better than anybody else, just in case those rings don't come.
But let's be fair to Dan and his sabbatical here, because no one has ever had a wider load management.
Oh, for Levinson. The love of God. That was unnecessary. Wow, Sarah really liked that one. All right, and you guys wonder why I took a bunch of time off.
Would you be surprised to see Josh Gordon play in the NFL again?
This is a sad story. I know a lot of people are looking at this and judging someone squandering talent in a shameful way, so publicly suspended again and again. And many of you are looking at it and saying, what is the matter with you? And it seems that he's in the throes of addiction, in the throes of sickness, that he doesn't have a whole lot of control over what's happening. To keep welcoming this kind of shame into his life and to keep failing his teammates in a way that has to hurt him. But I do wonder, if I don't know what the drug is and what Josh Gordon has been accused of before his marijuana usage, the stigma on this has fallen enough that I believe in 5 years or so, this is going to be collectively bargained and he's not even going to be banned. The workplace is going to be totally different in terms of medicinal marijuana use. Football is more conservative than the other sports, but baseball has already gone this way, and I can see football going this way in the future and us looking back and saying, if it is indeed marijuana, what the hell did we keep suspending him for?
I think you're right, Dan. I think it matters what the substance is, particularly because of our changing views on marijuana. But in the end, it's a guy who's fighting against his own self-interest. It's a guy who's self-sabotaging. And the judgment out there that still remains from some about how easy it should be to just say no or to prioritize football or his teammates or his talent is so simplified. This is someone who was already doing drugs in middle school, who suffered from now a lifetime of what those drugs have done to his brain and to himself. And I think what we should care most about is figuring out what serves him. Does it serve him to have football to look forward to and to focus on? Or have we realized after all these efforts that he would be better off out of the league, still using the league's resources, which, according to Pete Carroll, he's already been a part of and will continue to use? I worry about him, and I care most about how our changing responses to him should reflect empathy and an understanding of addiction instead of a judgment of what we believe a person should be able to overcome because we'd like to see them out on a football field.
Yeah, it is really easy to just jump to Josh Gordon being the preeminent case of the Stephen A. doctrine. Stay off the insert drug here, whatever that drug may be. In reality, this is a medical issue that he has struggled with. It is a medical issue that we don't know nearly enough about, but I feel fairly confident in saying this. I don't think this is the end of Josh Gordon in the NFL, and I say that simply because the NFL is a particularly unapologetic and particularly shameless talentocracy. Is he still a guy who could be valuable on some level to an NFL team? Because look at the Seahawks, for instance. Pete Carroll's tone in all of this after the fact was, yes, sympathy, but also seemingly an awareness that this was part of the deal. This could happen. So what did they lose? Not much. They took a chance on a guy. It did not work out. It is heartbreaking, but the heartbreaking part has never stopped another NFL team. Now, 6 suspensions in 8 years for Josh Gordon from taking that chance.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
Most of you see a little mud. It's a kind of a rainy day. But you know what? They call it a snow day in Montgomery County. Kids are not in school. They haven't been in school all day.
Time to play the game that's glad I wasn't on the show yesterday because, you know, Bears. Do you question?
Yeah, you give us topics and events, and then we make fun of her because the Bears always lose when she's on the show.
Yeah. Do you question which is more questionable, number 10's defense or his offense?
Oh, no.
I love that our show is so low budget and cares so little about the details that there are questions all the time. Check out number 10. We got funny video. We have no idea who number 10 is here.
Oh, no. Number 10 is all too
redeem
aware
yourself.
Of how many
redeem
people
yourself.
Know about number 10.
Oh, no.
Number 10. Mm. Number 10.
Oh, he ends up genuflecting here. Oh. Like he's about to be knighted.
Oh, I mean, it's embarrassing 10. Enough in front of the 15 people in the stands. Do we really need to put it on national television?
Well, wait a minute. Can we watch that one more time? Because there's a part of number 10 falling to his knee that should not be ignored. And it is the throwing up of the hands and just utter helplessness.
I can't do it. Meanwhile, on the other end, he's trying to perfect the Euro step, and we're not respecting it. That is a great Euro step.
I love that Sarah said, do we have to keep showing this? And Pablo immediately jumped in with, I need to see that again.
Knowing that you just got inducted into the Hall of Memes. So congratulations, Youth of America. This is your nightmare.
Do you question if Wilbon has a legitimate beef?
Let me explain something to you that's funny about this show that's been on the air almost 9 years now. No show in the history of this network has made more fun of Michael Wilbon than this show. Not even PTI. And I assure you, he has no idea that we've done it. None, because he doesn't pay any attention to what we're doing around here. So let's check his Twitter account. What kind of shameful buffoonery did he do today?
I live in Montgomery County, Bethesda to be exact. When you see this, most of you see a little mud. It's a kind of a rainy day. But you know what? They call it a snow day in Montgomery County. Kids are not in school. They haven't been in school all day. This is it. This is what we got. This is our big snow day, people. Montgomery County, way to go. They ought to be embarrassed to call this a snow day. My kid gets up at 8 o'clock, he runs in the bedroom, and he says,
man yelling
Dad, I got a snow
he's
day.
Literally doing that.
Where's the snow? Oh, there's some. Montgomery County, where's the snow? What a waste. What an embarrassment Montgomery County, Maryland, ought to feel for calling this a snow day. My kid's throwing a football right now at the Walter Johnson football field.
He's you can't just
because he's on
right.
snow day. You people are a joke.
And he's right. And we're all soft. Everybody's soft.
On the one hand, yes, like there is no snow there. But on the other hand, I never want to become the person who sees the opposite of joy in a day off from school.
Yeah.
That is when you know that you have gone too far. But I do want Michael Wilbon to be strapped to a GoPro and start attending, like, city council meetings.
I would watch that television show. Wilbon just going around railing against administration from the privacy of his car.
Time to play the game that orders takeout twice every Sunday. See?
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
You tell us what's on television. We cannot get our
timing
down.
That wasn't that bad.
Ever. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that good either.
Tonight on ESPN, E60, The Legend of Spitfire.
The video we're about to show you is totally crazy. I thought it was changed or altered in some way because this is totally gravity-defying here. This is the greatest athlete of our time right here. Spitfire. Look at what Spitfire can do and how he crushes everyone around him.
He's like the Michael Jordan of dock diving.
Tom Brady.
Tiger Woods.
He's not going to get there. I've seen this video.
He's not going to get there.
He's kind of like Babe Ruth. This is not HQ. This is E60. No one can touch him. This is awesome. My favorite part is how he comes down at the end here, all stretched out, long. That's a good boy right there.
Good boy.
Look at him. Giant. That's his tail, by the way. Pablo, are you intrigued, Pablo?
Just processing. Yep, okay, that's what you were trying to say. Yes. See, I am intrigued. And Dan, you know I have controversial opinions about dogs. I've expressed them to you at arguably your lowest moment.
The con of mammals. That's what he wanted to discuss with me after my dog had died. The con of mammals. Sarah, are you intrigued?
More importantly, I think it's good to note that there are shows on ESPN where animals and human beings achieve great things, and the dog actually did catch the thing, instead of if we'd watched it on HQ, where the dog would have drowned at the end or something, and then we all would have been like, don't worry, he's fine, even though we wouldn't actually know that. The dog would have been dead for 11 years by the time we found the clip.
Excellent, excellent expertise. The dog caught the thing from our canine expert. Not that I can say what the thing is called either, but I'm just saying it's not called the thing.
Tonight on History, Kings of Pain.
Okay, he keeps delivering this way, and it's always the men get excited and the women don't get excited around here. It's basically animals biting human beings. Let's see.
What about the lizard? Is he okay?
My arm!
stuff, you moron.
Okay. Oh, how long does this last?
A long time.
A dinosaur. How long with sharp teeth. How long does this last?
How did they get the lizard off?
Over 10 minutes.
That thing has survived
so long.
That species has been around since prehistoric times.
Oh. That guy's just letting it go now? When's he going to let go, and how did they get him to? And does it hurt him?
Can I help you?
Sarah, be careful. You sound intrigued. Pablo.
Look at the dent in your arm, man.
Yeah, I see it.
Of course it's a dent in his arm. Yeah, Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am very intrigued, mostly because the way they ultimately got that lizard off that guy's arm was just by waiting. Like, that guy was just standing there, and he was all right, I think it's given up now.
Sarah, you've got a face of total disgust on your face. You got no time for any of this.
TLDR, men are morons.
I mean, yeah, pretty much. That's a good way to end the show. That's all the time we have for today. Look at Sarah. She's still disgusted by what men do. Unbelievable. That's What She Said is the podcast. You can check her out there and on ESPN Radio. And this guy, High Noon, 4 o'clock Eastern every day right here on ESPN.
Con of Mammals.
Dude, you missed the gray memo today. We did such a good job last week with the blue, and you're throwing off the gray and black memo.
I'm sorry.
You got an Easter brunch after this?